WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A New York judge will decide today whether Donald Trump's 32 felony convictions should be tossed, given the recent Supreme Court ruling about presidential immunity. Trump picking a few more names for his cabinet, including Marco Rubio, sources say, for Secretary of State. Former Congressman Lee Zeldin is head of the EPA. The FAA is deciding whether to ban U.S. Airlines from flying into Haiti after a Spirit Airlines plane was shot at by gangs as it approached the runway. Here's ABC's Connor Finnegan.
The plane was just about 550 feet off of the ground when pilots had to divert to the neighboring Dominican Republic. One flight attendant on board suffered minor injuries during the action. Multiple airlines now have suspended their services, including JetBlue and American Airlines. The airport there in Port-au-Prince remains closed.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, head of the Church of England, has resigned after an investigation found he failed to tell police in a timely manner about abuse at volunteer summer camps. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake woman has settled two tickets after hitting another vehicle head-on and killing the driver. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, the crash happened in a construction zone on Highway 53 in August. Traffic on the road was going in each direction in the northbound lanes due to the construction work, with orange posts down the center line. The woman was ticketed for passing in a no-passing zone resulting in death and operating left of center resulting in death, to which she entered a no-contest plea. Criminal charges are still possible. Wisconsin residents may have another chance to catch the Northern Lights early this week. Thanks to ongoing geomagnetic storms caused by the sun's normal 11-year cycle, residents have already had a few chances to get a really good look at the Aurora Borealis spectacle. Conditions on Monday and Tuesday night this week give residents another chance to catch the Northern Lights, with Tuesday's display expected to be slightly stronger. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration officials say the peak times are between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Law enforcement authorities are working to track down two suspects accused of committing thousands of dollars of credit fraud. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, the suspects allegedly spent $1,600 at a Price Right, $1,800 at a Marketplace, and $1,800 at Hayward Bait and Tackle. Authorities also believe the suspects may have used the card in Ashland and Michigan. Pictures of the suspects are available on the Sheriff's Office website, and anyone with information should contact authorities. The Salvation Army officially began their Red Kettle campaign in Duluth last week at the Red Kettle Carnival. The yearly campaign seeks to provide those in need with food and toys for kids during the holiday season. The event was held at Bentleyville, giving residents a chance to drop off much-needed supplies while participating in classic holiday activities. Area residents should start seeing more of the Red Kettle campaign events in the coming weeks, and anyone interested in donating or volunteering can do so on the Salvation Army website. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Milwaukee Bucks tried to avoid the cellar. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Doc Rivers says the Bucks are working to turn things around.
Well, we just got to dig ourselves out of this hole that we're creating. We created it, all of us, me, them. Together.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year, along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get into the mid to upper 40s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down into the low 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, some scattered showers with a high in the mid 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty, and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The hills I put myself through, the fights I didn't need to fight. This thick head of mine you couldn't get through. Had to do it wrong just to get it right.
Good morning, Sandy Williams, sitting in for Earl Ingram and the Earl Ingram Show, playing music about lessons learned, and that's what we're talking about today. Trying to go through kind of a continual improvement analysis of the election, looking at how the Democratic Party performed. I've got Robert Sawdack from Atlanta on the line with me today. Bob has done an analysis that's pretty thorough, looking at what it is that maybe the Democrats ought to look in the mirror and think about. And I also have David on the line. Thank you for waiting through that long break. I thought maybe, Bob, why don't you take David through the headlines of each of the public's view of the Democratic personality, and let's find out which box David would tick if he were to select and on a multiple choice basis, which of these things would matter to him in terms of how he voted.
Yeah, that's a good way to approach it, because I think some of these are more important to people than others.
Right.
Okay, ticking them off. Wokeism.
Let's stop, David. What about wokeism? How troubling to you is the sort of woke aspect, the image of the Democratic Party, and do you think that affects how you consider voting for them?
I consider that a minor issue.
Minor, okay.
Yeah, that may be a little bit more based on campuses and on certain groups. Okay, number two, I had obsessed, well, in the words of David Leonard in the New York Times, Democrats are obsessed with race and gender.
How about that, Dave? Is that an accurate measuring?
Let me just mention obsession maybe isn't the issue, but affirmative action being a big example in employment and admissions and so on, I think is a good example of race issues that Democrats pursue.
I do think that's a factor. I'm not sure how, again, a large factor it is, but it's definitely, you know, again, another issue that I base it on an individual as far as their merits are concerned rather than race and gender. And I personally think that that's what we need to get back to, because I think that that's what actually works, as opposed to try to make determinations on equal outcomes for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number three, I had Democrats often call Republicans, Trump in particular, bigots, conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, David, were you offended by that in terms of a sense that it was lumping you as well into that category?
I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but I'm not surprised about it.
Yeah,
to be
yeah.
With you. I mean, it comes with the territory almost at this point, because it's been stated so much. It's not like it was just recently, you know, popped out there. It's been that way for a while. actually. And then, you know, so for me, again, it's an issue that, you know, I just kind of brush that off. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, that's a messaging that I just know that's going to, you know, come with.
You migrated some years ago from Democrat to Republican. Would that have been a factor as part of your migration, or is it really just a bunch of lip service that people are giving and it's something you kind of ignore?
I would say for me personally, lip service.
Yeah, okay.
Because Republicans have said nasty things about Democrats, and, you know, it's kind of like a word slinging fest in some ways. It's gotten worse. I do think that has happened as far as describing your opponents. But I think that is a little bit more lip service, personally.
Okay, next one we had is elitism, which we touched on a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a sense? I think you have talked about, for instance, the campus situation, particularly as it related to Israel and Gaza. Is that, do you think, part of elitism in your mind, or is that a more separate issue?
I would say it's a problem because it's made anti-Semitism acceptable in college with the fact that, okay, you know, if you support Israel, well, you're a bigot.
Is that part of elitism in your mind? Do you think that elitism is the word that would relate to that particular issue, or do you think it's something else?
I would say because it's associated with Ivy League schools, and you look at all the presidents that are pushed out,
yeah,
be it Harvard or Columbia, Stanford, yes, that's where that connotation comes in, because those are considered, you know, pristine elite schools. And if you have that on campus and you look at what's going on, yes, that's why that I think comes into the forefront in that respect.
Yeah. Okay. What was the next one?
Next one we had was being sanctimonious and patronizing, i.e. the allegation is that, or the impression is that Democrats are that way.
Yeah, I think you said Nicholas Kristof had described Democrats as coming across as remote and patronizing. Do you have a sense of that, David, or is that not something that you react to?
Morning, Tom. You know what? Again, there. If you look at what Barack Obama said recently, he said, "Well, if you're a black man, you're not voting Harris and what have you. You know, there's something wrong with you." And, you know, so when you start, you know, throwing different things in that regard, I don't think that you're going to start alienating quite a few people by doing that, because you're not respecting that individual's thought process. And so you're actually trying to box them in by saying, if you don't do this, well, this is what happens, you know? And so I think that's a messaging issue that the Democratic Party has to figure out going forward, because rather than, you know, I guess, you know, throw that kind of language at them, how do you say, okay, what really matters to you?
Yeah,
Why are you thinking about doing this? And I think that's what needs to be done.
I think the next one you had, Bob, was cancel culture. I think that's what you started out with talking, Dave. So presumably the cancel culture aspect of it is something that has annoyed you enough to rise to the level of being in your conscience.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, again, during COVID, if you were told that you believed it was a lab leak, you know, that it came from there and what have you, again, you're ostracized from that viewpoint. And you didn't even have a chance to explain. And so I do think that's where it kind of materialize when you, again, if you didn't fit into that box, you know, it was just like, okay, well, you're just a crazy person. You know, you're not a science-based individual.
What about the attention that was paid during the campaign and by Democrats and by liberals, more than maybe Democrats, because I do think the trans issues were things that were going on outside of government, but were labeled as liberal focuses of attention. Did that bother you in terms of your vote?
No. For me, it really came down to economy. If you look at what it costs to purchase a home, you have to, and it was just put in Zillow recently, you have to earn 80% more to purchase a home today than you did 4 years ago. So I don't know if Calvin is looking for a home, but he's going to have to exponentially make a lot more money to be able to purchase a home.
Yeah, that which is part of the economic situation. Let me just shift. We've got a couple more callers, and so let me just, if you want to stay on, Dave, but we're, I'm going to have some others introduce some ideas of their own. We have Al from Milwaukee. Al?
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you gonna bug me about the music, Al? I know you do that with some regularity.
Well, I've gotten past that, Sam.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
I'm almost 80 years old, so I go back music-wise. My grandfather was a pianist and played with King Oliver and Louis Armstrong and all those people. So I can take you back into the late 1700s about music.
Oh, well, let's not do that today.
Pardon me?
Let's not do that today. What do you have to add to what we're talking about?
Yeah. I called you because I want you all to define for me conservatism and liberalism, because I consider myself somewhat conservative, but, you know, I'm a military veteran. My whole family was in the military. My mother, my grandfather, my father, two sons, three uncles, and my sister. The point is, a lot of what transpired in this election and its process was racism. And it's a simple matter of, we are a minority in this country, and along with the Hispanics and others, and most of the information that was being put out in these commercials was blatant racism, and there's nothing else you can do. Most of the voting, I think, was done through fear, and people did not see Harris as a strong person in case there's a war.
Particularly from your vantage point, I think that's all. And I do think that the definitions of liberal and conservative have become thoroughly confused and potentially have lost much of their meaning. We'll be back talking more about this. We also have some more callers, and so we'll be considering sort of the lessons to be learned by the Democrats from the process they just went through. But the hard way taught me well, the hard way. Shook this boy through hell the hard way. It taught me how to tell the right way from the wrong, and on which side I belong on. The hard way. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I'm going to share a story about me and my money. This starts in my 20s, when I was what I will call an avoider. I was an avoider because I just felt like I was bad at money. You know, I didn't want to think about money. I didn't want to do anything with money except make it and spend it and close my eyes and pray that the rent check would cash. I spent a few years beating myself up about not paying attention to my money until I started having a very short money meeting with myself every month. And those meetings taught me that with a little bit of effort, I could be on top of my money. I could know when it was coming and I could know where it was going, and eventually I was able to make plans for it. So if you're stuck in the avoider trap, hey, I know what it's like. Invite yourself to a money meeting. I promise you it'll pay off. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
They say there's a universal plan for every woman, for every man. I do believe there's a higher power, but in our darkest hour, it's hard to...
Good morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. We're talking today about sort of the lessons learned associated with the outcome of the election. I've got... a colleague and friend from Atlanta, Georgia, Robert Sawdyke, on the line, who's done an analysis of the election. We have callers on the line. What I'm looking for is a discussion primarily probably from people who didn't vote for Kamala Harris about what it is about the Democratic Party that, from their perception, that are the brand issues associated with what they perceive to be Democrats that might have affected their vote this time. And quickly, Bob, I thought maybe you could just quickly run through the headlines on why we're talking about this in terms of the geography and demographics of the outcome of this thing, which was, not good for the Democrats.
Yeah, they did quite badly, as in sort of 20% to 40% range of getting the votes among rural voters, non-college educated voters, non-coastal voters, working class voters, poor white voters, men generally, young people and first time voters, and Latinos. It wasn't 20 to 40% among Latinos or some of these, but it was less than it had been in the past.
Yeah. And that those segments, when you add them up, is well over a majority of the country. I mean, those are
getting close to like 80%.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Democrats did not do well in many demographic areas. It could well be that one of the mistakes the Democrats have made in the past is to consider the country from a voting standpoint based on ethnicity and demographics, and to take some for granted and maybe not pay as much attention to some of the others as they might. But in any case, this outcome was bad. In the process of continual improvement, I thought it would be good to try to evaluate why without shooting the messengers. And
Sandy, let me just make one more comment on that. One might ask, well, why did all these groups not vote for Democrats much? And a lot of issues and political issues come into play, but I think one might say, did the Democrats, quote, write them off, take them for granted, ignore them, offend them, or just not succeed in making efforts to attract them, but yeah, a little bit of ignoring, a little bit of offending.
Yeah, or were there circumstances that they couldn't overcome? And my view is that if the Democrats fall back on the notion that there were circumstances that they couldn't overcome in this election, they'll be missing the opportunity to evaluate, because these are trends. This isn't something that just happened this time. There are some underlying trends that relate to some of this. So I thought maybe we could have Lee. Is it Lee from Janesville?
Thanesville.
Oh, Thanesville. Oh, yes, Lee. Okay.
I absolutely did vote for Harris, so I'm not the person you're looking for, but I wondered if there's any way going forward to fight the news feed that everybody uses, which is the internet or the television, where they only watch, they only watch their point of view. And if they only watch their point of view and they only listen to their point of view, how do we ever move forward in either direction? I mean, people just get more rooted in their beliefs as years go by, and it seems to have been happening for quite a long time. I listened to NPR yesterday in a story on Hidden Brain, and it was about ambiguity and how people who are ambiguous, which can mean just sort of weighing options and thinking about things and really ruminating and saying, I don't really know how I feel about this. I need more information. That is viewed as weak. And people who come out as very, very definite are considered strong. And I think part of Trump's appeal has always been he's strongly what he is. So people can identify with that and they feel he might be a good leader for that reason.
Well, and clearly the echo chamber process that has enveloped the way in which we obtain information, where we go to information sources that tend to agree with us and make us feel good and validate us, makes it harder, I suppose, for the Democrats to change their image, because it'll be hard for them to find the mechanism for providing a message that's different than the one that is being painted for them and on their behalf.
I'm afraid that one may be close to impossible to ever change. You have freedom of speech.
Well, be honest with you. There are mechanisms. There are freedom. I don't think we can control that media, but I think the Democratic Party has to get much more facile with it. There's no question that Donald Trump used that media to reach young men in a very effective way in this last election. And so I think what that provides is a challenge, but I don't think it's necessarily a complete roadblock.
I think it's going to be hard to ever get liberals to watch Fox much.
Oh, yes. Or to get
the opposite Fox, or to get Fox to change, or to get NBC to change.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're kind of stuck with what we got. But then I think the party that wants to reach people in a manner that's different than how they've been reaching them will have to figure out the pathways for it. That's part of the challenge. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we continue to have more callers, and I think we have just a minute before the break. So I think when we get back after we take these callers, I think for the last segment, at least, we might want to talk about some of the potential lessons to be learned from this and what it is that could relate to these various demographic groups in the last 15 minutes. But we have another segment coming up to talk more about this.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is warning residents that a couple of new invasive species may be heading this way. According to a Facebook post, the DNR is warning about the hemlock woolly and balsam woolly adelgid moving through Michigan. The insects have not been found in Wisconsin yet, but residents should be on the lookout as they target hemlock and fir trees. An infected tree would look stunted with swollen branches as the insects use toxic saliva on the trees that also causes needles to become discolored and fall. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the state will receive a portion of the nearly $1.4 billion opioid settlement with the grocery chain Kroger. According to Attorney General Call, Wisconsin will receive nearly $21 million for opioid abatement with payments beginning next year. In total, the state is expected to receive nearly $800 million from various opioid-related settlements. As part of the settlement, Kroger also agreed that its pharmacies will need to monitor and report on suspicious activity with opioid prescriptions. The City of Duluth will hold another public meeting on the West Superior Street reconstruction project this week. The project's construction timeline runs 3 years from 2025 to 2028 and will see a full overhaul of the road, utility infrastructure, and pedestrian walkways. The final public meeting on the project will be held at Clyde Ironworks on Wednesday night, where officials will share more information on design specifics, construction phases, and the impact the project will have on the area. Those updates will also be available online. A Minnesota teen was killed when his kayak overturned in Barron County over the weekend. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, the teen was kayaking on Kirby Lake when he capsized a little after noon on Saturday. When authorities arrived, they found two people in the water who said a third person had gone under but didn't come back up. Authorities used sonar and divers to find the teenager and began life-saving measures. He was flown to a hospital in Minnesota but died on Sunday as a result of his injuries. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Gladiator 2 is just a couple weeks away from hitting theaters. According to director Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix almost quit the first Gladiator. The 86-year-old director says Phoenix got cold feet and told Scott he had to leave the project. It took a Gladiator-type effort from fellow castmate Russell Crowe, who told Phoenix he was being terribly unprofessional. At the end of the day, it was Scott who talked the actor into staying on the film. Gladiator 2 does not have Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, but is directed by Scott and opens November 22nd. The sixth Pirates of the Caribbean film is in development. Good Lord. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer says production on the film will start in late 2025, but the cast has not yet been assembled. Johnny Depp is a maybe, but Keira Knightley says that she will not take part unless it's the final film of the franchise. Fingers crossed. The film does not have a title yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get into the mid to upper 40s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down into the low 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, some scattered showers with a high in the mid 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Overtime with Maggie Dawn, we will preview the Trump administration cabinet picks, plus the takeaways from the 2024 election with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I was
10 years old the day I got caught with some dime store candy that I never bought. I hung my head and I faced the wall, 'cause daddy showed me wrong from right. He said, this hurts me more than it does you.
Good morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. You can call in at 855-752-4842. This morning we're talking about sort of a lessons learned analysis, trying to do some continual improvement sort of evaluation so that the Democratic Party can maybe get closer to what it is that the voters want and need from their government, since they obviously didn't make it all the way there in this last election. We have a whole bunch of callers. I'm going to try and get through as many of them as I can this segment. Maybe we can start with Mike from Kenosha. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. Tough conversations to be had the last few days, that's for sure. We're all kind of spinning around in circles trying to get our minds wrapped around what in the world happened. But I have to say, we're looking at the Kamala Harris campaign, and then when you look at the Donald Trump campaign, one was based on the future and fixing things. The other one was one lie after another, after another, after another. You know, there's still, we're talking about the Russian hoax. They're still talking about the big lie. They still wouldn't accept and go on record accepting the results of a certified election yet a week before this next election. I'm looking at a system that is our election system that is completely broken. It's allowed dark money to grow into just huge volumes.
Yeah.
And there's no accountability to it. And at the same time, Sandy, we're now, because there's so much money involved, and it's really an ecosystem within itself.
Well, it is, but I mean,
now,
you're talking about causation here, but there is something about what it is that people heard during the campaign that prompted a bunch of demographic groups to migrate more away from the Democratic Party. And I agree with you that much of it has to do with how these things are funded, the nature of the campaigns. But, you know, one campaign was more effective than the other with respect to creating an image that people bought into. And, you know, we might scratch our heads because we weren't one of some of the people who bought into it. But I'm very interested in finding out what it is about the Democratic Party and what they heard that caused people to buy into it to the contrary. So,
you know, I might mention that, and Democrats raised a lot more money than Republicans.
That may not be
taking into account all the PACs.
Well, I think we've had on this show, we've talked for a long time, the extent to which dark money has caused Washington to not pay attention to Tom, Dick, and Mary, leaving them with a great deal of frustration about Washington, right? So there's a great deal of frustration about the establishment, which I think Donald Trump tapped into, ironically, because it's not clear that he, during his first four-year term, paid any more attention to it. Maybe we can go to Eric from Wauwatosa.
Hello, good morning. Hi. Yeah, personally, and I've said this before, I believe this was simply a case of white folks protecting the property value of whiteness. Something that falls on people, not the Democratic Party. This isn't about Democratic Party. This is about white people figuring out how we're going to get around these deeply seated racist beliefs. Let's not forget how horrible of a human being this candidate was. Somebody no good person wishes their own children will grow up to become. And as for the economy being a go-to reason to vote for the GOP candidate, I contend that it's a go-to cover story for voters who would never admit to racism. And for reference, you can think of the know-nothings.
I think so you would add a category to what it is that Bob has come up with, which you would say that there is a tribalism or a racism that the Trump campaign tapped into or exploited as being a big factor. And I think I would agree with you on that. I think that there was obviously an excitation of that kind of view of things. But again, trying to stay on the track of evaluating it from the other side. Let's go to David from San Francisco.
yeah. Thanks, Sandy. Is it Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to raise, I posted on the Facebook page for the show a piece regarding Putin. And you may or may not have heard of it. Apparently, just yesterday, Russian TV decided to really tweak Trump. And they ran an episode starting off with naked photographs of Melania Trump. And then they ended up with a photograph, an AI photograph, of course, of Donald Trump on his hands and knees with a collar around him and Putin leading him around. Now, that would not have aired on Russian TV if Putin hadn't agreed to it. So he is just friggin', you know, I don't want to say tormenting Trump, but it's going to play hell with the Americans who have got to pay for foreign policy.
Yeah, I mean, that is an issue, and foreign policy obviously might have played a role in this as well. I think one of the things that that both Professor Franklin mentioned earlier, that was mentioned earlier this morning by some pollsters on NPR and by Bob, is the young disaffection of young men particularly. And I think young men in particular were tired and concerned about war and might well be buying into a more isolationist kind of a non-interventionist policy that Trump is selling, and that might have helped him with that category. Thank you, David. Let's go to Tom from L.A.
Yes, and I hope you're giving me as much time as you gave David to actually have a conversation a little bit.
Well, look at Tom. My only condition is I want to have the conversation from the standpoint of evaluating what it is that was going on in the minds of people who didn't vote for Donald Trump. I don't want to have we can have another show, another talk about what the reaction to it ought to be or what the validity of those thoughts might be. But right today, I'm just trying to focus on what were these people thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what. One, we need to move in a more FDR direction. And if people don't know who FDR is, then shame on us, because we should have been teaching our kids this from the beginning in terms of who FDR was. And he was a four-term president. I think the Democrats need to get back to their FDR roots. Second, you do realize that having this conversation right now, that the conservatives would consider you an elitist. They would consider you playing Barbra Streisand not the most masculine thing in the world. That's what these people are about. The thing is, they have a media infrastructure that tells them daily what exactly it is that people should be saying. You have these right wingers call up your radio station. It's perfectly right out of the right wing playbook.
Well, Tom, in fact, in the last segment, and maybe you should stay on, but in the last segment, what I plan to talk about is like, what do the Democrats do about this, and what are the impediments to it? And one of the things I can identify is that the Republican Party, some would say very cynically, have a very tight messaging system, and their tent is not so very big. The number of issues that are discussed in the tent are very limited. The Democratic tent is very big. They take on any issue that people want to talk about, and the approach of the Democrats, therefore, to the public is much less disciplined. The Republicans have had a very cynical strategy associated with judgeships, associated with districting, and associated with policy discussion. And the policy discussion, you know, they have a morning briefing that's called Fox News that basically allows everyone who considers themselves a conservative to find out what it means and why they're conservatives. But the point is, it's been effective, okay, because this last election was proof that there's a message that is effective that's getting to people who might vote for Democrats who are in fact voting for Republicans. So that's what I'm trying to get to the heart of on this issue. And painful as it is, I think that, you know, I need to, for instance, I think I'm going to take this call from CJ now. And CJ, I'm interested if you could look at this from a constructive standpoint and identify, not combatively, not to discuss why it is that people should never vote for Democrats or what's at heart wrong with them, but what is it about the Democratic image or brand that prompts you to be a very ardent MAGA Republican?
Well, part of it is, thanks for taking my call, Sandy. Part of it is, my dad always said, when he talked politics, it's hard to argue with Santa Claus. And the Democrat Party tried to buy their way into this. They proudly raised over $1 billion and still ended up $20 million in debt.
Well,
they brought in all kinds of entertainers. So
well, yeah.
The Democrats wanted it about personality and not about policy, because the Republicans won on every policy other than maybe abortion, because they misrepresented what Republicans and we believe.
Well, you're making an assumption that the reason people voted was for policy, and that's what I'm trying to get at, and that's why we had Charles Franklin on earlier, and that's what I think pollsters will be evaluating. But there was policy and there was image, and my sense is that image might have played a big role, and maybe just as big a role as policy.
Well, I think people were living the Biden-Harris Democrat policy, and they weren't acknowledged. We were told how good the economy was, and you're wrong about it. Well, every time we went to the grocery store, every time, inflation is down. Yeah, after they've taken it up to 22% over 3 years. So they didn't listen. They wanted to sway us by, this is a bad orange man, and he's going to ruin the country. Well, this guy's going to be inaugurated, and he's going to be running. He's already.
Well, I appreciate your call, CJ. We're going to try and stay on the track of analyzing what and why, and you've been helpful. I appreciate your call. And maybe David from Mequon has stayed on. Dave, do you have something more you'd like to add to this subject at this point? I'm sorry to keep you hanging for so long.
Yeah, no problem. It's good to hear other viewpoints. You know, again, I just go back to the fact that if you look at, who has been included now into Trump's world, basically, the Tulsi Gabbards, the Kennedys, Elon Musk. I mean, these were all individuals that think a little bit differently, but they obviously have been kind of outcast. And I would point out, prior to this, and I listened to what Dr. Craig has said over the last couple of years, and he was mad at Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, who are more moderate Democrats. And the reason why they chose not to rerun for election is they don't fit within the current party structure.
Well, and let me just say, though, David, just to be, and this is not really on track, but you certainly have the problem in the Republican side of orthodoxy, because the term rhino was a term that's been used with some regularity, and the rhinos got run out of the Republican Party. So I'm not sure there's a great deal more embrace for people who aren't towing the line on some form of orthodoxy in the Republican Party. I mean, there's a long list of people who've vacated the party.
Yeah, there's no question. And that was what we call a country club Republican. and what I mean by that is that's what the Republicans were associated with. And so now what
you mean
you're seeing
Adam Kinzinger? And no, I mean, I think what you're demonstrating is the same sort of requirement for orthodoxy that you're saying about the Democrats. But the fact is that the Republicans won this election, and for some reason the messaging didn't work for the Democrats. We'll be talking about this when we come back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. This is the last segment. We're talking about lessons learned from the last election, lessons to be learned from the Democratic side as to why they experienced failure. You can call in at 855-752-4842. I've got Bob Sadek on the line, an old friend of mine and a colleague, a prominent lawyer from Atlanta, who's done a good job of trying to analyze some of the issues that that might have affected the vote of, on the Democrats this last time around. His thought, and the reason we talked and then he's on the show, is his concern that Democrats might find an excuse like inflation or other happenstance, the short campaign of Kamala Harris, as the reason for this loss rather than maybe digging deeper into this. And, Bob, I thought maybe in this last segment, we can take a call in a minute, but I thought in this last segment you might try to focus on what happens next? You know, what is it that, given the information and the kind of process that must have gone through the heads of these eight different demographic groups that comprise 80% of the country and which trended badly for the Democrats, what do you think they can do about it?
Well, that's difficult. Well, I suppose step one is analyze it as we've tried to do today. And, you know, but Democratic leaders need to do it. And even if they disagree with a particular issue not being important, get it down there, throw it around, and try to figure out why so many people voted.
I think you and I on the phone talked about the issue associated with they. Because the Democratic Party doesn't, you know, other than the fact that they seem to be able to select who should be president on a leadership basis, it doesn't seem like they have the same sort of ideological focus kind of apparatus and leadership that the Republican Party has. And how do you think the Democratic Party can get there?
Well, that's difficult. They don't have a leader right now. I mean, the Republicans have Trump for... I guess, you know, Democrats used to have maybe Obama or Clinton or somebody else, Biden at one point, maybe. No longer. I mean, Chuck Schumer doesn't seem to be the right guy to do it. Nancy Pelosi is dialing down and so on. So but maybe that's okay, because maybe it's as well to get a group together. You know, let's just say they select 12, you know,
the 12 apostles, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a couple of governors, a couple of senators, congressmen, others who have been in on the cabinet or wherever. Mix it up a little bit in terms of
But I think
progressive versus moderate tone.
Yeah, I think you've identified, though, an important thing, which is that the leadership, ultimately, there needs to be a leader, obviously. Figurehead leaders end up being important parts of guiding policy. We have a couple of callers. We just have a brief moment here, but why don't we jump into that? We have Agram Khan on the line.
Hey, guys. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
I'm a Muslim. I represent, you know, a big coalition here in Wisconsin. And, of course, wanted to pick your brain about, do you guys feel that, you know, the Democrats kind of lost their way with the Muslim vote, with the Arab vote, especially in places like, you know, Southeast Wisconsin, Madison, and in Michigan? Or, you know, they completely ignored whatever noise we were making regarding Gaza. And that was the only issue, that the Muslim vote showed up to the polls and voted against Kamala.
Well, you're the best. You're the best judge of that, Agram. That's why I asked you. So, we probably should have added. And clearly that was an issue, might well have been an issue in Dearborn and in Michigan generally. And clearly in Wisconsin as well, and there was a kind of a rock and a hard spot process ongoing. You know, it's the ironic thing about that, the Muslim vote and that issue, is that the Trump doesn't seem to be any better on that score in terms of the discussion of what public policy might be. But it could well be that the Muslim vote sat on its hands, at least in some fashion, and that obviously was an issue. Can we maybe go to Chad from Greenfield?
Hey, Sandy. I don't think it's important why I voted for President Trump, but I can give you some information why people I know that personally know that were in the middle, why they all voted for President Trump. Number one, like I said from the beginning, Kamala Harris was not a likable candidate. She was installed undemocratically, and people had no say in it. Even my liberal friends did not really like her. Number two, I know three young couples that cannot buy houses because of the interest rates. Luckily, when I bought my house, it was 5.9%, and I was able to even remortgage it down to 2.9% and able to pay it off right away. With these rates, young couples cannot buy houses. Number three, Kamala would refuse to say names like Rachel Morin and Lake and Riley and Jocelyn and all those names that she was responsible for. She just kind of laughed it off, and that's a slap in the face to normal Americans. And number four, people are just sick of being called racist and fascist. Maggie Dawn is still calling people racist.
Yeah, well, I think you've identified a number of the issues that, Bob, you had outlined as being potential issues, and it clearly has been. Look, thank you all for listening in, Bob. Thank you for calling in. There's more work to be done, a lot more work to be done on this kind of an exploration and analysis and a lessons learned process. But I thought today we could devote some time to it. Well, maybe it'll happen again. And I welcome all of the calls from the listeners. And so end of Tuesday, I'll be back on Friday, but Earl will be back here tomorrow. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06. The woman is a fountain of positivity. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.